Are we having fun yet? Huh?
I don't know. Are we?
The Mad Pad. WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. We're still looking for family-like material. Working on that part of it.
Keep looking.
Yeah, I will. We're at Short Stack Eatery. Please stop on by and say hello.
Gordy's right.
Buying everybody breakfast this morning.
Everybody here right now gets
right
a
now.
Free breakfast. The early morning crowd's still coming in.
Yeah.
So. They're on their way. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning.
It
man.
Is.
Look at it outside. Beautiful sunshine.
No clouds.
I know. We're going to get a few clouds later.
Oh.
And temperature is going to be a little chilly this morning. 51 degrees. Let's see what the high temperature for this afternoon will be. We got the roulette wheel, weather wheel. There we go. Roll it.
Get that marble rolling.
All right.
It's been incredibly accurate. No one has disproved that.
It's going to be 68 degrees today.
Yeah.
A little bit on the chilly side through the morning, but not bad this afternoon. So, good.
We'll
Looks
see.
Good for a Wednesday. It doesn't feel like Wednesday.
No.
Because yesterday didn't feel like Monday or Tuesday or whatever it was.
Monday kind of Tuesday on a three-day weekend. So now here we are on Wednesday, which feels like a Tuesday.
Yeah, that's it. But we are here, and we'd love to have you stop by. It's at Short Stack Eatery, the corner of Johnson and State Street, 301 West Johnson, I believe is the address. They've got the outdoor tables set up. Do you want to go outside?
They're kind of set up.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Might be chilly today.
A little bit cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
it's going to be okay.
If there's a wind, any indication? Do we have a wind wheel?
A windmill wheel?
Yeah.
We don't, but we should fashion one up.
You know, we'll workshop that, right? It's another workshop item.
Yeah, that's it. Winds should stay light today out of the north at about 5 to 10 miles per hour.
All right.
That's it. That's all.
You know, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the megas and the House Farm Bill.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're taking shots at that. You know, they've never really added anything to programs. They always seem to subtract everything to programs. They'll save a little money, give those tax cuts out. They need that.
Mm.
We'll also be looking at Trump's worst case of projection yet.
Really?
According to the Jewish vote. Just a stunning stunning revelation from him.
What did he say?
We'll get to that.
We're going
to
find out.
Yes. Okay. And De Niro, you know,
being
shouted down by a crowd of protesters,
MAGAs
that didn't like what he was saying. He's a liberal, so you know what they do?
What?
They try to silence people.
Yeah.
The MAGAs try to wait a minute. That is crazy. Isn't
shout them down and
shout
silence
down and silence
him.
People. I think they're censoring him.
They
well, anyway, we'll talk about that later on as well.
Robert De Niro will not be censored.
No.
proved that.
He won't.
He gave it back, right back to him.
I've got something that most people will probably not find interesting next hour.
Great. Let's talk about it now.
No, we're going to talk about 17 products millennials refuse to buy. They're killing the economy, man, those millennials.
Okay.
17 products they will buy anymore. All right.
You're not going to buy them anymore.
No.
Okay.
And then the competition between deplorables and vermin in the media. What got more coverage? The coverage of Hillary's deplorables? Or Trump's vermin comments?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, of course, Nikki Haley is signing missiles in Israel. So we'll get to that. Oh, my God. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Oh,
what
God.
Is
What
she,
is wrong with her?
I don't know.
Something terribly wrong. At least we, you know, don't have her as a candidate. Thank God we have Trump. No, wait. That's not right.
She's still trying to become vice president for Trump, right? Don't you think?
Given
up on
everybody's
that?
Everybody's, like, you know, settling on Tom Cotton for some reason.
Because
he looks like a Southern... Well, whatever.
Okay.
I don't want to say it. It's a negative stereotype. I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
I'm just going to be fair and
You're
balanced.
Think
and
know
it. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I'm going to think it.
Think on it. Let's get to the National Day calendar. Why not?
Sure.
It's the 29th day of May. So
is there a day in here that's not real?
There is a day. Okay. There is a day in here that's not real. Is it National 529 Day, or is it National Flip Flop Day? How about I can't even pronounce that. I'm going to skip that one. National Paperclip Day. Is it National Senior Health and Fitness Day? Or is it National Flower Day? Which one of those days does not belong?
Well, I looked at the list.
Oh, well, then, okay. You know.
I know what it is.
Did Sam look at the list?
I'm looking
probably
at it right
not.
Now.
Oh, no. See, he wrecked it. All right. There he goes.
Okay.
Okay,
so you both
National
know.
National Flower Day.
You both know it's not National Flower Day, but it is National 529 Day. Why would they need a day called 529 Day? You're asking. Yeah. Well, May 29th, reminding families and friends that it has never been easier to help save for a child's future by contributing to a 529 savings plan. Mm-hmm. You help prepare a child for whatever path they choose. Earnings grow tax-free on the federal level and in most states if savings are withdrawn to pay for qualified tuition and other expenses. I didn't even know of a 529. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Not a lot of people buy into it, but I mean, it's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, it's
we could have
great
actually
idea.
A statewide plan if we wanted, or mm-hmm. a national plan, and do that for everybody in this country.
It's also National Flip-Flop Day. This is a day not devoted to politicians. It's a day for flip-flops, you know. Flip-flops that you wear on your feet, thong-style sandals, are by no means new to footwear. You have flip-flops, don't you, John?
Well, look at this here. Is this a flip-flop?
No, that's a sandal. Anyway, they've been around for thousands of years. However, the term flip-flop has applied to flat-soled sandals with straps between the first and second toes, and across the top of the foot since the 1960s. The term also describes someone who changes their mind or an electronic component.
Oh, yeah.
An electronic component.
A flip-flop?
What, a flip-flop? I don't know.
Well, Sam's probably working on those at home.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what an
flip-flops are a thing.
Electronically?
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, I mean, they flip and they flop.
Is that a switch?
Kind of, yeah. It's like a little device that can have basically an on or an off state, or two separate kind of on states. It's a control thing in like low level computer stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's also okay. It's National Flip Flop Day, or I mentioned that it's National Paperclip Day. Each day. On this date, each year on this date, we celebrate a small but handy invention. Yes, the paperclip has its own day of honor. And today is the day. The day celebrates a well-known piece of curved wire that keeps our papers together and keeps them well organized.
What was the paperclip's name that Microsoft used for Word docs? Do you remember?
It's Clippy.
Clippy.
Okay. Well,
Clippy was the most irritating character that they ever came up with, and they did away with him.
Huh.
Yeah. They straightened out his little clip curves.
What do you
made him into a wire.
Clippy
used to come on if you had a dock open, Clippy would come on and give you hints.
Okay, yeah.
Even when you didn't want the hints or help.
It would come on and do a little dance
animated
and tell you.
Character, yeah. Exactly.
Well, many have claimed the earlier invention of the paper clip. According to the early office museum, Samuel B. Fay received the first patent for the bent wire paper clip in the United States in 1867. It's been around that long. Yes. The original intention of Fay's clip was to attach tickets to fabric. However, the U.S. patent recognized that paper clips could also hold papers together.
Wow.
They were that smart.
Okay. Genius. Absolutely genius.
Yeah, and that's it. National Senior Health and Fitness Day. That would be us.
That would be our thing.
Yeah, put on your sneakers for National Senior Health and Fitness Day. Yeah. On the last Wednesday in May each year, approximately 100,000 senior adults will participate in activities across the U.S. for this national observance. Yes.
You know, I was listening to the Devils yesterday, and I guess it was Dom's birthday.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And
I had
you
no
mentioned
idea.
This why.
I had no idea that he was 70. And
is
that's
that
why
so?
I'm thinking Senior Health Fitness Day.
Well.
He looks as healthy as anybody.
He does. Yeah, he's in good shape.
Yeah.
Many organizations offer special events for Senior Health Fitness Day. Banks and health clubs and area agencies on aging, houses of worship, hospitals, malls, Parks and Recreation Departments. The list goes on and on.
Wow,
and
of course, it does go on. I just love them.
Senior centers and retirement committee. committees.
I just want to kind of go back.
Yeah, okay.
Question of the day.
Okay.
Does anybody find flip-flops easy to wear?
I don't.
It doesn't seem like something that would stay on your feet. They're not comfortable.
No.
They rip into your toes because that little bar that goes
between your
toes.
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know.
I've never been able to understand why people wear flip-flops.
It doesn't make any sense
at all. It doesn't. Are they just
that's why slides are the way to go.
Slides?
Yeah.
Like what are slides?
They're like flip-flops, but without like the part that goes between your toes. It's just like a band across your foot, and you just slide your foot into it. Yeah.
See, that makes sense, right? But how do you keep the damn thing on? If there's nothing in the back for your heel to hold the whole thing on, let me just get this.
Okay.
Maybe these flip-flops are for temporary use only, like at a pool, right?
Could be.
Or in a locker room.
Yeah, or on the beach. Sure.
Really, on the beach?
Well,
it seems like that'd be the hardest place to keep them on, walking on sand.
You're probably right, yeah.
Anyway, look, that's the question of the day. Do you like flip-flops?
Okay.
That's not the greatest question in the world.
Not the greatest, no.
Well, we'll shelve that one. We'll rethink that question.
Do we have some history? Yeah, okay. How about some history, Sam? What do you think?
Okay, we can get started on it.
Get started?
Oh, we only got a minute here.
Open the thing up.
Are you familiar with the fall of Constantinople?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Well,
didn't they fall to the Ottomans, marking the fall of the Eastern Roman Empire?
Yeah, I'm glad you're reading off the same sheet that I am.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a big deal. There's a song that I'm going to be playing after we come back in. About the fall of Constantinople.
There's a song about it.
Yeah, there's a song about it.
Yeah, there is.
That happened today in 1453.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Well, I don't have a lot on that. I can't really expand on.
I could expand.
That's okay.
I could expand a little bit more, but I don't think everyone wants to hear.
No, we don't. I'll tell you what. We are just getting started from Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison on Johnson Street. It's the John and Gordy Family Show for Wednesday. Coming back with more.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, old Constantinople, still it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York.
Yeah.
So they got to Constantinople.
Constantinople, yeah.
By mistake, and they want to get someplace else. So if you ever end up in Constantinople, how do we get out of here?
That's
the song.
That's the deal.
How did anybody manage to fit that into some lyrical content?
I don't know.
It's an amazing
thing. It's got a lot of syllables. Yeah. Constantinople. Dun. It's got a little rhythm to it already.
Yeah.
Just right
very
out of the box.
Very catchy stuff, isn't it?
What else happened on this day in history, on the 29th day of May?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Gordy. Today's a very special day.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Today in 1848, Wisconsin became the 30th state.
Wow.
Yeah, big deal.
What a day that must have been.
That is.
The very
were there celebrations? You bet.
Oh, yeah.
Was there beer? Probably.
I bet, later.
A year later, they banned abortions.
Oh, is that right?
Infanticide. Okay. That's what they really banned.
Exactly.
All right.
The next year, 1849, they also founded the UW, which I think is pretty cool. It's written right into the state constitution.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was.
let's start
right
a university system.
Yeah, let's do that.
Today in 1942, Bing Crosby records the Christmas classic "White Christmas."
Mm-hmm. The end of May.
I mean, it was for the movie Holiday Inn, and they were actually not thinking that this was going to be like the hit song from the movie. So it was just kind of a passing thing.
Yeah,
but it's the one that's lasted. Today in 1953, Mount Everest was summited for the first time by Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay.
1953.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now it's kind of all turned right into like a little industry just about. If you got enough money, you can just pay to, for people to guide you right up to the top.
So it's that easy.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I don't think it's easy.
I mean, you have
in
to be, you
way
have to be in like good physical shape, but yeah, it's, yeah, it's a lot easier than it was for them at least.
Yeah.
So is Edmund Hillary's body frozen up there?
No, he made it back down. Both of them made it back down.
That's wow so weird, isn't it, that they have frozen bodies on the way up to these mountains?
Well, he just he right can't just get them down.
Them yeah. They just leave them there.
Yeah.
Man, oh, it just,
that would be so sad. So get all the way up there and see who didn't make it.
You become a waypoint along the trail.
Well, how are you going to get them down? You know, that's the problem. Can't.
I just slide them down the hill.
It's not a hill. It's a mountain. Just, oh, boy. Okay. Anything else for today?
Yeah, we got
birthdays?
A couple, we got a couple
celebrity
birthdays today.
Yeah.
Bob Hope. I think we've,
oh, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think we've played him once or twice on the show before. He was born today in 1903. And John F. Kennedy, the president, born today in 1917.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy, you know, Bing Crosby in the same historical context as Bob Hope's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. They would team up for the all those road movies. Yeah. Good times. Yeah. All right.
And
well,
that's
thank
all
you,
we
Sam
got. That's what that's today.
That's it
history
for the history books. The history
well, that's fantastic.
Is history.
I, you know, that was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best, John. I do my best.
It never is dull.
It never fails.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we're here at Short Stack Eatery, and we do this every Wednesday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We do have a guest a little bit later on today via the phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking to Rachel Barnhart. Mm-hmm. Her group is Up Together. And I imagine there are a lot of groups throughout the country, but they keep track of all of the minimum income programs that are out there. I'm trying to think. What is it? Universal minimum income, right?
Universal minimum income. Okay.
And what they do is they give individuals, low-income individuals, money each
yeah
month, free.
Like a monthly.
A lot of times it's $500. Sometimes it's $1,000. And these are experiments that are going on all around the globe,
mm-hmm,
and they're trying to find out whether people just sit back and rest and get the free money and spend it on nothing, or they utilize it in mm-hmm some way, shape, or form. And they are finding out that people are actually finding it helpful to get back on their feet.
Well, I would think so.
And,
you know,
yeah,
especially for people that are low income or no income. At least they got something every month.
I looked at their map of where their programs are taking place, and they have one in Wisconsin. And we'll ask her about that and how that
do
went.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's coming up a little bit later on. Also, we've got some other items to talk about.
Well, we've got some lost stories that we have to...
Oh, lost
we have
stories
to mine, yes. Go back in and try to get them. Try to uncover them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Things that we may have missed before.
That we actually have missed before.
Okay. We may have missed.
What, do you want to get to one of them?
Let's warm up with one.
All right.
You got one?
Yeah, I think I have one. Cut 131, if you can just try and find that.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
I got to plug something in over
yeah
here.
Yeah, I see that. And you know, we've got a little musical intro for this.
Do we really?
Yes, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sam put this thing together. We're day and night on this.
We'll save that.
Well,
we'll save
it
that till we're coming into a big chunk of them. Got to build anticipation.
Okay. All right. Do you just want to, should we just play this, cut 131?
Sure.
Please.
I don't know. You know, Romania-Mexico policies. We need to get them back, you know, to really to put pressure to control that border. So I just don't see anything else left there because no one wants to shut down the economy. Unfortunately, we should really for such a serious issue, but Republicans are not going to do it. And you know, and we are not just going to let Democrats have messaging bill with lots of loopholes. There are way more loopholes in that bill than people even realize.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, that's the. I wanted to kind of introduce it, but that is GOP Representative Victoria Spartz. She was with Maria Bartiromo, and she was talking about the border. And her big comment, of course, is their solution is to shut down the economy first to force the administration to close the border.
To close the border.
Shut down the economy, close the border.
Wow, that's a plan. Not a great plan.
Yeah. There was
but
one,
it's a plan.
One Twitter reaction from Matthew Gaetz was, we will hurt people unless you let us hurt people, is
what?
The bottom line sticker on that one.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's always a punishment. Everything, all their solutions are punishments because people are trying to get away with things.
I think they are.
So they punish them, and all policy is based on punishment. You'll find a lot of punishment in the new farm bill that's out there.
Yeah,
they're really they're going at all the programs in the farm bill.
No kidding.
Which I always thought that the farm bill helped again low income individuals get food, and they usually sold that food, their farm goods, to the state or to programs in the state, so they could supply the food to the individuals on low income.
That would make sense.
But
it
seems like they're limiting that now.
Okay. It is 6:29, John and Gordy, the family show, live from Short Stack Eatery. Coming up, well, Trump with his worst case of projection yet.
Yes.
Yeah, and Robert De Niro. Whoa.
Well, yeah.
Where do you hear this?
Yeah. Yeah.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine. For people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
Okay.
Sounds like a very helpful thing.
It is.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. And all of your social media dial as well on Twitter X. I'm starting to get used to calling it just X. Now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Still call it Twitter X.
I do.
Most of the time.
Traditional. Yeah. But I'm starting to like X, not like it, but get used to it.
Hey.
Yeah. And then Facebook and YouTube, and we're all over.
We're
get the podcasts
everywhere.
On Spotify. You can also get us on the Civic Media app.
Yep.
Text us or call in if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
We always like to take calls and comment to your comments. Feel free to do all of that while we're here in the family show.
Okay.
And keep it family-oriented.
We're in touch, so you be in touch. Okay?
Yes, we got all the cliches right here. Oh, you know, we've been bringing up the Farm Bill quite often here in this particular segment of the program, so let's continue with that, okay?
Okay.
All right. As you know. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. The mega hot. What?
No, go ahead. I was just singing along with the music.
Okay. The mega house farm bill again takes away progress for a better time that we all remember in the 1800s. Let's go back there.
Okay.
The house farm bill would cut an estimated $30 billion from the food stamp program, known as SNAP, over the next 10 years.
SNAP.
Well, that's always good. You know, I guess they anticipate that low-income individuals will suddenly come into a lot of money, I guess. It will also reportedly allow states to outsource the SNAP program's process for determining which households are eligible. And they're going to outsource it to a private corporation. Sounds like that'll work.
Oh.
Potentially make it even harder for families to enroll in the program based on whatever that private corporation thinks is best.
Turn it over to a private corporation.
Yeah, that's right.
Just let them handle it. It'll be a lot more efficient.
Yes.
Sure.
Why should the government do it? Because it costs the government money. Mm. But it doesn't... Wait a minute. It costs the government money just to hire the private corporation.
Never mind. Nothing to see here.
The farm bill would also reportedly slash animal welfare protections. This is just like, why? Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What else would it...
They didn't get further into that. I'd like to know how they're going to do that. And plus, by the way, it lifts pesticide restrictions. Because we don't have enough pesticides in the environment at this point.
That's right. We need more pesticides? Yeah. Really?
See, this is the farm bill they want. This is the way they think the country should be, right?
Just let the farmers do whatever they want.
Torturing animals.
Torturing animals.
Right. And then, throwing as much pesticides on their fields and our crops and the food we eat. Why not?
Mm. We've got a call here about the farm bill. Mark's on the line.
All right, Mark. Yeah, what have you got, Mark?
Good morning.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Not only that, but there's also the provisions in the farm bill that always provide for CRP, and land set aside, farmers can set aside and give opportunities for hunters, across the country. I mean, another thing that they're adding to it. The whole pesticide thing, I think all these Republicans should be forced to drink a nice heaping teaspoon of whatever the worst pesticide they decide to deregulate in the morning coffee, and let's see how long they survive on that. I mean, that it just...
Right. I suppose they really haven't heard anything about organic crops, right? without the pesticides. I mean, every farm is basically going to that. That's what they're bottom lining. Most farms now, anyway.
Yeah, and your ag spot. I heard about them talking about soil health. I mean, the soil health is so important because our soil is actually it's not just dirt sitting there. It's actually a living organism with all the bacteria and stuff. It actually benefits the crops. You dump so many pesticides on it, you wonder how that is actually damaging, the ability of that soil to actually maintain the food that's
the soil ecosystem. Yeah.
You bet.
You definitely need that in the soil. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. So, this is crazy. Add more pesticides to all our food. The food supply becomes contaminated. Organic farming is the whole deal now. So these people apparently don't bother with organic foods in the supermarket, which a lot of people do now. And a lot of farms in Wisconsin do like organic farming because it's very, very popular, and it's great. I mean, there's a high demand for organic farming. Right, Mark?
You bet. I get it when I can, and it's and then I grow all my stuff. In the summer, I live off the tomatoes that I get in my garden, and you don't need to worry about the pesticides in it.
That's right. All right, but now we
thanks,
do have
brothers.
To worry about the pesticides. Okay, appreciate the call. And they're also get this. Yeah. They're banning nearly all Delta 8 THC products.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yes.
the farm bill.
While the federal government is deciding to lower the penalties for marijuana and cannabis, this is going to ban Delta 8 THC products.
Okay.
Some industry stakeholders say it could even federally criminalize many CBD products because the measure's scope covers all ingestible hemp products.
Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Really? So gummies, anything else?
Right.
Ingestible.
It could, throw a wrench in the entire corporate business that is growing around this.
Yeah, in 25 or so states.
You can kind of call it a job killer.
Or more. Yeah, actually more states than that. Yeah. Delta 8 THC products.
Right.
They want to ban all that.
Yes.
The MAGA House Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they're going after a lot, aren't they? The animal welfare protections, pesticide restrictions, Delta 8 THC products.
Mm.
Anything else on the laundry list?
No, that's it for now.
That's
anyway,
all?
The thing is,
that's not good.
The thing is, the Democrats are just saying, "Well, this will really never pass. None of these things will take place. It'll go to the Senate.
Mm.
They'll remove all of these
right
penalties and punishments and animal cruelty. they'll take those out and they'll send it back to the House, and the House will have to probably pass the Senate bill, most likely. But the problem I have with the Democrats on this is that they don't complain loudly. We're complaining right here on this program. That's why we're bringing this story to your attention. But the Democrats don't seem... They don't know how to set their hair on fire when these things happen. They don't bring enough attention to it. They don't have enough outrage on the left side of the aisle. We should have a little more outrage.
More outrage.
And it's not political.
Dial it up.
It just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You don't want animal cruelty. You don't want farms to punish all these animals by grouping them in unhealthy conditions.
Well, and going after the SNAP food assistance program again.
Right, again.
I mean, come on.
I mean, they're already punishing people with SNAP. If they don't work, if they don't do job searches, they take away their food and health. By the way, they take away their health. That's why we should have universal health care again. Yeah. So they can't use it as a punishment, something they can take away. Mm-hmm. Why would you want people to be unhealthy? Or torture them in that way. That would be an incredible cruelty. Yeah. And I think there's a something in the Constitution about that.
Well, and the medical system is already stressed to the nth degree. You know, they don't need any more problems.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well,
nailed it. Just nailed it.
It's the farm bill. Hey.
Oh, man. Now, I you did mention a few times here Trump's worst bout with projection.
What happened yesterday?
This is something else. Matthew Iglesias, reporter, and he posted this. Trump is such a sloppy and disorganized thinker that he constructed a pitch to Jewish voters based on an analogy in which he is literally Hitler. It's never any good.
Take a breath and think about that.
That's right.
So, really, he started an analogy where he's portraying himself as Hitler.
That's right.
Okay. At
the donor roundtable, Trump said he had studied Jewish history, which obviously he starts off with a lie, and had thoughts about this moment in U.S. history. He said, and this is a quote, "And you know, you go back through history, this is like just before the Holocaust. Mm. I swear, if you look, it's the same thing.
Oh, no.
You had a weak president or head of the country, and it just built and built. And then, all of a sudden, you end up with Hitler. You end up with a problem like nobody knew." Stupid.
What's he trying to
he's trying to say that Biden is the weak.
But
if you had Trump, who is incredibly weak and can't think his way out of a box, that's when you get Hitler. Trump's lovely choice of phrase, unified Reich, comes to mind, of course, along with Trump saying Jews who vote for Biden should have their heads examined. Always a positive.
That was a quote.
Something that Jews, may find a few red flags in, or Jews who vote for Biden do not love Israel. Oh, that's a nice little guilt trip.
Okay.
Ain't working is enough to have any sane Jew who grew up knowing the Holocaust by age 4 vote for Joe Biden instead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy talk. This guy is out there ad-libbing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think this will persuade too many Jews to vote for Trump at this point. Right?
That's right. Well, don't you have a quote there from a 100-year-old Holocaust survivor?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Save the best for last.
Okay.
Here. This is Ruth Rosansky. She lives down in Florida, 100 years old, as you mentioned.
100 years old.
This is a quote. "When I hear Trump speak, I hear Hitler again. When I see his rallies, it's like what I saw in Nazi Germany. Trump is like a dictator. He's crazy like Hitler was."
That was Ruth Rosansky.
Somebody who witnessed this.
In Florida, 100-year-old
Holocaust
survivor.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah. So the warning is there. The warning signals are there.
It's right there.
Got to know it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, let's check out, the Raiders of the Lost Stories. We're doing all of these.
The Raiders of the Lost Story.
But this is a news story. Okay. Robert De Niro dealing with loud protesters, mega protesters, trying to cancel him. It's you know, the MAGA cancel culture that they blame the liberals on, which is untrue. Here is Robert De Niro, cut 167, dealing with this crowd. Listen, you'll hear them in the background.
Kelly describes Trump as, quote, a person that thinks those who defend their country in uniform or are shot down or seriously wounded in combat or spend years being tortured as POWs are all, quote, suckers because, quote, there is nothing in it for them. A person that did not want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, it doesn't look good for me. A person that demonstrated open contempt for a Gold Star family, for all Gold Star families, on TV during the 2016 campaign.
Is that the right?
That was not the right
cut. No, that wasn't.
No. 168 is the right cut.
There we go.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Here's Robert De Niro.
I mean, this is really, even these people over here are kind of, it's kind of crazy. It's really crazy, and this thing, Donald Trump, has created this. He should be telling them not to do this, but he's just...
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there was more to that cut, but
he got into it with some protesters outside of Trump's trial.
I mean, it is a certainly incredible projection from the RNC who sent that cut out, by the way, ripping into Robert De Niro. They said, this is how they describe what you just heard. Unhinged Bob De Niro starts off his stammering, rambling press conference, by the way, that describes every Trump rally that I've seen, by insulting millions of hardworking Americans who support President Trump. That's not it.
Okay.
And projectioneer Scott Walker tweeted, at least it wasn't 3 hours like his last few disasters. Oh, you're talking about Trump rallies again, aren't
that's
you?
That's right. John and Gordy live from Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison. Coming back a little bit later on, our special guest, Rachel Barnhart, coming up.
Unearthing what's fallen through the cracks. Here's John and Gordy, Raiders of the Lost Stories.
You got it. We had a lot of those.
Lots of lost stories. John and Gordy live from Short Stack Eatery. Yes.
Stop by if you can.
Yeah. We're here till 8 o'clock this morning. And Rachel Barnhart will join us in a little while. And now here's John Peterson. John,
John and Gordy family show, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. It's a beautiful morning as well,
it
and
is.
It's going to be a nice day.
It's cool, 51 degrees, highs in the upper 60s.
Yeah. I think we should hear a little Jimmy Kimmel here as we unearth some of these stories.
Where'd you dig this one up?
Truth Social ad and the Unified Reich. Cut 152 if you can, and I think Kimmel pretty much says it best, doesn't he? I mean, this guy is entertained. He's one of the great late-night talk show hosts. But check this out. Again, this is about Trump's trial, Truth Social ad, Unified Reich.
Trump has a lot on his plate right now. He's threatening to sue the filmmakers who made a new movie called The Apprentice. A spokesperson for Trump put out a statement and said, this film is pure malicious defamation, should not see the light of day, and doesn't even deserve a place in the straight-to-DVD section of a bargain bin at a soon-to-be-closed discount movie store. But if it gets nominated for an Oscar, he'll start saying he wrote it. The best part of the story is one of Trump's billionaire friends invested a lot of money to make this movie, thinking it was going to be a flattering portrayal, and now he's furious. He's slow and furious, as the news goes.
Beautiful stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Jimmy Kimmel's great.
I know, yeah. I know. And let's continue, by the way, that one cut, I guess 153 is also... Kimmel, and talking about Trump as usual and the trial.
Our former president and future convicted felon, who, after saying who knows how many times he would absolutely testify, has opted not to testify, and the defense has rested their case. I will tell you, though, one thing I'm going to miss as this trial wraps up is watching Trump's lawyer, this guy Todd Blanche, silently glowering as Trump stands outside the courtroom whining every day.
It's a kangaroo court. There's never been anything like this that I've ever seen. Now, I have two other trials that were kangaroo courts also. It's stacked up. And I see what's happening with this judicial system, and it's just, they call it all kangaroos.
No, they do? Who does? Who calls it all kangaroos? The legal community? The zoo community? Or just you? I don't know. And then all caps and kangaroo outlined his next steps.
And we'll be resting pretty quickly. Resting meaning resting the case. I won't be resting. I don't rest. I like to rest sometimes, but I don't get to rest.
And then guess what he did? The guy who does the rest? As soon as he got into court, he nodded off at least once this afternoon. The only supporters Trump has in New York is the army of ass kissers who fly in from Washington every day to suckle his teats on camera. Today, it was Don Jr., Sebastian Gorka, Ronnie Jackson, and Joe Piscopo. Not exactly a Beatles reunion of stars. And there was a congressman from Texas named Troy Nels who decided he needed to show up to slobber all over his sweet orange crush, too.
This is 5 weeks sitting in a courtroom when he should be out reaching the American people and telling the American people what he would like to do for this country. And who shows up? Tens of thousands of people show up at Donald Trump's rallies. The Democrats hate it. There's not another person on the planet that can do that other than the Pope.
That's right. Not Beyonce, not Taylor Swift, just Trump and the Pope. And, of course, no one did a louder job of defending Donald Trump than the unfortunate and chin-challenged soul who has the bad fortune of sharing the man's name.
When our defense goes after arguably the least credible witnesses in the history of, I don't know, witnesses, you're not allowed to ask the damning questions of them. The star witness in this case is a, what, 9 times convicted liar, and now an admitted thief. That is who they're hanging the entire case on. The other one happens to be a porn star.
And my dad screwed both of them. And then we have brother Eric, who took his look at me, Dad, please look at me, act to Hannity.
They have charged my father with 34 felony counts. It's been what they've been doing to my father since he came down that escalator.
I've been by my father's side almost the entire time.
My father's been censored. My father, that man right there on the stage, my father didn't do a damn thing wrong.
He's a great president, he's a great person, he's a great father.
And in case I didn't mention it 5 times already, he's my father. No matter what he tells people. And on top of all this, Trump or his team, someone shared this video on Truth Social last night.
What happens after Donald Trump wins? What's next for America?
Okay, if you zoom in, you can see they slipped in the words, a unified Reich. A fourth Reich, if you will. The good news is Trump wants to bring the country together. The bad news is that country is Germany in 1933. His campaign said it wasn't Trump who reposted the video. It was one of the junior Nazis who worked for him. But what else does this man have to do for people to see what he is? Just grow the mustache? What if he grew the mustache? What if he grew a little blonde Hitler mustache, started strutting around with his arm out straight? You think it would have any effect? How many of his supporters do you think would say, all right, that's too much for me? I guess maybe 10.
Yeah, there. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep.
On a roll.
On a roll, definitely. Oh, yeah, and yikes. I wanted to mention, you know, they talk about cancel culture and everything, but Representative Jim McGovern was out on the floor of the House listing all of Trump's trials.
Oh, really?
And they cut him off, and they said he couldn't do it. And what? They banned him. Apparently, Republicans are allowed, you know, to silence and cancel people just like that for mentioning Trump's trials on the House floor.
What?
Because they said he wasn't guilty and that he shouldn't be talking about this stuff because it hasn't been proven yet, so don't bring it up on the House floor. And then they banned him from speaking the whole day. Because of it. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I didn't.
Just another day in Washington, D.C.
A little bit of cancel culture just all the way around.
Happening immediately.
But they don't see it. They don't see themselves as being part of the cancel culture.
No.
I mean, they actually came up with it. It's projection again. It's always projection.
Mm-hmm.
We could point out everything is almost projection from that side of the aisle for whatever reason.
That's it. It is 6:58, John and Gordy Family Show, live from Short Stack Eatery. Coming up, products millennials refuse to buy, and we'll talk to our special guest, Rachel Barnhart from Up Together. It's all coming up.
John and Gordy.